Welcome to episode 166 of the Family Podcast Network. Jam on, Lee! Jam on!
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those kids that aren't. The date today is October the 29th, 2012. I am your host, Trey Gibson. My, oh my, do we have a cool show for you today. That's right, today is going to be a very interesting special topic on music, how it helps kids learn. That's right, we're going to talk a little bit today about the power of music in our kids. Now, this is not some frou-frou, frilly, just play music for your kids and then all of a sudden they learn better. We're going to talk about the knit and grit, the stuff that's actually been researched, tested, and tried, and we're even going to answer that infamous question. Is allowing my kids to listen to their music, their rap, their heavy metal, rock, etc., whatever else it is that parents often have a tendency to not like, is it hurting our kids and making them worse? We're going to talk and tackle that pretty tough question today. But before we do, let's get into some quick housekeeping. Guys, if you want to get free updates on episodes, what the heck's going on? What did Trey talk about today? Do I want to go listen to him today, or is it something that I can wait until later in the week? You can do that by signing up for my free episode updates. You can go to www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and you can enter in your name and your email on the right side browser bar and put those two information pieces of information in there and you will get updates as well as subscribe yourself to a newsletter. I say a newsletter. It's not even that. I just basically took my recent ebook and I broke it down into as many segments as I could and I kick out those segments to you guys through that email. So the bottom line is you want to get my ebook that I normally charge for completely free. Sign up for that, and you're going to get that broken down into small little sections. The reason why I like it that way, I do it in weeks. So that way you can get little small increments of, hey, I can be working on this week. Hey, I can work on this week. I want to get to that stress-free parenting that Trey's always talking about, but I don't want to slack my way through it. You can do it by doing that as well. We're actually going to be getting it set up before too much longer, and we're going to try to – I think I'm going to offer this book out for free. I've gotten such an amazing turnaround on it, and so many people are speaking so highly of it. It just feels like the right thing to do. So we're probably going to be getting that out there. But if you want to get it in small doses, sign up for that. You get it for free. Also, guys, don't forget to like us on Facebook. That's one of the best things that you can do. That's where I'm the most active at. I want to be active on Twitter. I really do. I want to be more active in other social venues, but I just don't have very many people connected with me out there. I'm kind of a Facebooker as it is, and so I just I'm slightly unfamiliar to the other places. So if anybody wants to connect with me on Twitter, YouTube, or any of those places, just let me know. I'd love to talk with you on that. That's my favorite thing to do, is to get conversation started there. But Facebook's kind of the flagship of the places and the things that I do. So go, don't forget, share this out. Let other people know that you saw this and how much you liked it. Also, guys, go check out the blog over there at www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, or you can go to familypodcastnetwork.com and click on blog in the upper bar. My wife has been blogging over at our site for the blog, and let me tell you, she has an innate skill at blogging. She just has the way to type out words that is so much fun, so easy to read, so much so that she and I converse every single week about what she's going to talk about in these, and I still, whenever she leaves the room, go over there and sneak over and listen to it, and then just rave on her the next day and brag on her and build her up, because I'm serious. I mean, I'm not trying to build her up because she's my wife. If she sucked, I would tell her, listen, you suck, man. This is not good. But man, it's so good. Go check her out over there. Guys, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode. Man, Trey, I'd like to be able to help you keep doing what you're doing. I feel like I'm getting value. I feel like you've got stuff on the money. That kind of thing. Consider becoming a PTACer, Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. Just kind of a funny way of helping me support the show at 30 cents per episode. And last, if you have questions, Trey, what do? I'd like to hear a show on. Or Trey, this isn't even really an issue that I have, but I know somebody who would love to hear something on. Let me know. You can contact me through email, TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also leave me an internet voicemail by going to the website and clicking on the Ask Trey a Question bar at the far right-hand side of the screen. You can also leave me a voicemail by calling me at 661-PARENT-0, 661-PARENT-0 if you're stuck in traffic, etc., those kinds of things, or if you're out driving about, or you're just thinking about, I mean, you want to call it in before you forget it, if you're like me, 661-PARENT-0. All right, guys, with no further ado, we're going to get into our topic today of music and how it helped kids learn. So what can this topic do for you today? Here's the bottom line. Let's say you've got a kid who's really struggling to memorize, learn, and retain information. Maybe that's at school, or maybe that's every time you're telling them they seem to forget the things that you mentioned to them. Maybe you've got a value system like we don't punch each other, or we don't bite each other, or you know, try this new food and you might like it, right? Maybe we want to teach these things to our kids. How do we do it? Because sometimes kids are so, what's the word, stimulously motivated, right? So whatever feels good or smells good or tastes good, right? Those are the things they often go after. And so if they even get a whiff of the idea that something's going to be uncomfortable or negative or something they're not going to like, what happens, right? They avoid it like it's the plague. And so how do we get our kids to carry these value systems over in a way that'll actually stick, right? Because maybe we tell them and they're good about it for, you know, the next hour, then they forget next, right? And so how can we do that? We're going to talk today about how music is often the thing that bridges the gap on this. So we're going to talk a little bit about the role of music in parenting today. What can we do with it? I'll tell you guys, it's a major player in learning. It really, really, really is. And I think we've missed this. I think we've forgotten this. I think our mainstream schools have totally overlooked this. And you'll see a few teachers that catch this. But we've overlooked the power of music in our learning styles. And so, you know, I really want to talk about that today. I mean, one of the main reasons why we did, you know, homeschooling with our kids, or are doing homeschooling with our kids, is because of reasons like this. Now, we didn't take them out because kids, you know, parents don't play, you know, or teachers don't play music. I mean, it's not that. But I think there's so many things that are non-conducive to positive learning that we decided, let's do this. And we absolutely do use music with our teaching and whatnot. And so there's lots of places out there. When you take a look around, just search, you know, music and teaching and whatnot. Take a look around. You're going to see a lot of places that acknowledge these benefits. And so we're going to talk about a few of the main pieces of that today. The Gibson family in particular uses music regularly. I mean, we really do. We always have. We love music, whether we use like catchy little jingles to try to like teach value systems, you know, so education basically. One of our favorites is just recently we ran into the I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Yo Gabba Gabba. Weirdest show. It's like a kid show tripping on acid. It really is. And it's kind of weird, and it makes most adults uncomfortable. But here's the one irrefutable thing that I've noticed is my kids love it, and they learn from it. And they had a show on the other day that was talking about trying new foods. You know, try it, and then you'll like it. I tell you what, let me get a clip on this real quick. All right, I found a clip on that, but the quality is so degraded on it that I'm not going to use it. However, I did find another one that we'll talk about here in just a second. So I'll give you kind of guys a debut. If you haven't ever heard these before, these acid tripping things that actually teach pretty good relevant information. We'll go over that in just a minute. We'll talk about it. But anyway, we have this one that says, try it, and then you'll like it. It's a Yo Gabba Gabba show, and you know, my kids heard it, and the other day, we've moved to a much more cleaner style of eating lately. And so our kids were eating, and we had left the room, and we'd made some stuff. And I mean, the way we're eating now, it tastes amazing. My wife is a culinary artist, but in reality, the food often looks like junk. I mean, it really does. And I'm saying this in the fullest sense that it tastes amazing, but it just looks kind of grody. And my kids were looking at something. They, you know, my son especially was just eyeballing this thing with just, you know, deceit in the eyes. He was looking at it like, what is this? And my daughter was just munching down on it, my daughter Anna. And finally she looked over and she goes, Grant, try it, and then you'll like it. And she's saying that about three or four times. And then he tried it. And the next thing I know, they were both just sitting there, try it, and then you'll like it, right? So, I mean, if nothing else, research, evidence-based in the Gibson, Casa de Gibson, proves that this stuff is working. At least for my kids, it's working. So there's another one that's actually a favorite of mine as well. And it's called the Don't Bite Your Friends. Let me play that one for you, because I do have a clip for it.
Whoa, stop. Muno, we can't play if you bite Koopa. We don't ever want to bite our friends. Don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends. We don't. So don't bite your friends.
So before you start tripping out and saying that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, first off, you're right. It's weird. But in reality, I mean, seriously, how many times as parents do we think and stop and say to ourselves, well, dang, do we ever teach our kids don't bite, right? We often yell at them and tell them not to, but we don't ever really stop and educate them. And just like my good buddy Jeff Emery, when he came on the other day, you know, he mentioned that a lot of times when you're trying to discipline in the moment, it doesn't work well. And that's exactly right. And so, anyway, these can often be great ways to teach these principles outside of the emotional situation of big brother just bit little brother's finger or something like that. It can be a great way to educate our kids. So before you go hating on Yo Gabba Gabba, understand that this stuff is shown to work. The other real benefit that I've seen, too, that comes from using music in our household is just things like dancing in the kitchen with the kids, and it's very relationship building with kids when you just take the time just to dance with them. I know it sounds goofy. I know it involves you getting silly, and I know for some of you guys, you don't like that. My suggestion is find a way to get around that uncomfortability with it. I understand. I've had to relearn silly in more ways than I care to admit, because when I first got into this, I was not a silly man whatsoever. I've always been a ham bone, but when it comes to being like silly with kids, It just didn't happen. And so, anyway, our favorite in our household is dubstep. We love dubstep. And for some of you guys who are wondering what dubstep is, this is dubstep. Okay, you get the idea there. But see, we love that in our family, and I always liken that to being like, you know, a robot. I mean, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex walking around with a laser on his head. I don't know, the big beats, the whip, 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 whip. I don't know, T-Rex, laser on his head. Makes sense to me. Somebody throw me a freaking bone here. Anyway. So we like dubstep in our family, and one of the reasons we love it is because we sit there and we dance to it, and we have such a good time. The kids get to chuckling, I get to chuckling, even Corey, my wife, who is much less of the ham bone as me, even she gets to chuckling on it. So, I mean, I highly recommend it. So, anyway, we're going to talk a little bit today about the articles that I've kind of dredged up. I've pulled up a couple here that show that all this idea that music helps kids learn is not just a wives' tale. Particularly, we're going to talk about an article that came from the University of California. And what they discovered was that basically there's a hub in the section of the brain that links, I mean, music and memory and even emotions. It's a very fascinating article. So just real quick, like, what's a hub? A hub is basically a central place, right? That's the center place of activity. I mean, think about a hubcap, right? A hubcap covers the hub of the wheel, which is where the center of the activity happens, right? In back in the days, it used to be when there were spokes coming into that, the spokes connected to the hub, which is where the center of all the activity from the wheel was happening, right? And so this article again shows that there's kind of that central place, that center of activity that happens in the brain. It's actually the prefrontal cortex. For a lot of you guys who have been longtime listeners, you've heard me talk about prefrontal cortex. That's just the part right behind the forehead, which is where we often get our rational thinking, the executive thinking decisions and stuff like that. So whenever we're really mad and upset because the kid blasted through the intersection and nearly hit us, right, and scares us to death, right, that emotional part says go chase him down and run him off the road or something like that. That's whenever that prefrontal cortex, that middle part kicks in and says, all right, listen, let's think about this. If you do that, then your life is going to go to jail, and you're going to see your kid, right? There's that. That's the part that calms us down. That's what brings us back into the moment and gets us sane again, right? And so they found that hub, it's in that front part of the brain, that prefrontal cortex. They found that it actually, it links music and memory and emotions, which is so interesting. So let me read you just kind of some of the basics of the article here. The folks who wrote this over at the University of California found that there's a region of the brain where memories of our past, right? Memories of our past are supported and retrieved. It also serves as the hub that links familiar music, memories, and emotions. I mean, I don't know if you guys are, I mean, brain nerds like me, but that's fascinating. I'm going to skip a few of these things because they're not pertinent to what we're talking about here, and some of it we've already gone over, but The author, Janata, mentions that what seems to happen is that a piece of familiar music serves as a soundtrack for a mental movie that starts playing in our head. It calls back memories of the particular person, place, and it might all, and you might all of a sudden see that person's face in your mind's eye. Now we can see the association between those two things, the music and the memory. So the bottom line is that music serves as a very potent trigger for retrieving memories. That's what we're getting out of this article today. I will have links to that if you want to go read that over at Eureka Alert. Very fascinating article. So anyway, what they're finding is that there is a section of the brain that actually is connected with music, where it lights up whenever we have music, and then also memory recall. So what can we do with it? How can we use music to teach our kids? Hey, great question. I've got some answers for you on that. Number one, music has a tendency to relax and lower stress levels that make learning very difficult. I mean, let's be honest. When you're stressed out, how well are you learning? Probably like me, you're not. Science behind it goes is that there's different kind of waves that happen in the brain. There's a particular frequency of set that happens that's called alpha waves. Now, whenever we see alpha waves increase, that's a good thing because alpha waves are typically associated with what's called relaxation, right? So music has been shown to increase alpha waves. Now, I had a mom a few years ago. Brought a beautiful question to me. I didn't know the answer to it. I had to go look it up. But she said, well, what about my kids' music? They listen to heavy metal. Now, first off, I love heavy metal. I'm kind of a weird dichotomy here of things, but I love heavy metal. And you're like, heavy metal and dubstep, huh, Trey? The answer is yes, seriously. But I love heavy metal as well. And they said, Trey, I don't think there's any way. It's all screaming and it's all this and that. And what their research has found is that, yes, even what seems to be chaotic music has a tendency to increase these alpha levels. So before you freak out that your kid's listening to like hardcore rap or they're listening to heavy metal music and you're wondering, how in the world does this calm them down? They should be listening to Mozart or Bach or something, right? Don't get me wrong, great composers. I listen to them regularly. However, the answer is not necessarily. Some people have asked why. I can't find anything that proves why that is. So I'm going to give you guys my theory as to why I think it is that heavy metal music actually has a tendency to calm teenagers down. I believe it's because of this. Typically, when it comes to adolescence, it's kind of like a sensory flipping overload. I mean, just think back to being a teen, right? You had the emotions rolling in. You had all the changes that were happening in your body, the hormones that were going on, the emotional piece of it, the social piece of it. I mean, there's just tons of stuff coming in. Now, when you hear the word stimuli, what does that mean? Anything that creates a reaction to, right? So if I hear something, right, that can be a stimuli. If I feel something, if I touch something, if I smell something, those are all inputs that are being received through the different senses, right? So kids just kind of get assaulted with these things, right? They get assaulted with all the different things that are coming into their life. And so I personally think that the chaotic music actually has a tendency to bring solidification to help kind of control that crazy out there-ness by using we'll call it high energy music, but they'll use this music by kind of like hearing the roar, the high intensity, and those different things, that creates a stimulus that kind of overloads all the other things. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like it takes the focus of what's going on inside them, and it pulls it out to what's going on outside, and in a way, that actually creates a relief. That's called coping. That's called coping. So before you freak out about your kids' music and start, you know, thinking that there's no way they're ever going to bring their anxieties down or whatever, and you know, and take their music away, I encourage you to double think that. Research doesn't prove that that's the way it is. In reality, it can have the opposite effect. But again, what you just hear me say, that's purely a speculative theory on my part. I don't have any research to back that up. That's just what I think it is. Having seen so many teens that I have over the last few years who do so well listening to that music and how it brings some level of focus to them, I mean, I'm like, let them do it. I mean, if it's that or them cutting on themselves, like through, you know, non-suicidal self-injury or burning or cutting on themselves and those kinds of things, man, shoot, I'd rather be listening to heavy metal music. And I'm not saying that you ignore like the messages that are in some of the songs that are out there. You know, depending on what your family's belief systems are, you might want to listen to those and decide if you want to talk to them about it. But I don't recommend just taking, oh my God, this is so crazy, don't let them listen to it, or that kind of thing, because I think you can have long-term effects that equal no bueno. So how and why do we use music? Number two, it has a physiological effect on kids. I mean, it literally, on people, it actually has a physiological effect. They've shown that it can actually lower metabolism and heart rate. And, whenever metabolism comes down, when heart rate comes down, we have a tendency to be more calm. When you're more calm, you're more susceptible to listen to something. I mean, think about it. Have you ever been reprimanded by somebody at work or something like that? And you're all of a sudden now you're really worked up and fired up and just, you know, and they're trying to teach you what they want you to do different. And it doesn't come in. But then if you ever had that boss that maybe you get reprimanded, but they give you a day or two and they come back and they say, hey, listen, here's why. I want to let you know why, right? It's always easier to do things whenever we feel more calm. It's always easier to learn to retain whenever we're calm, right? It's a distraction thing. I came in the other day incredibly distracted about some things. My wife said, hey, could you run to the grocery store? That's just right down the road, and grab these three items. And I walked out of there and I said, hey, I had to call her. I said, what'd you say again? These three items. And I got there and I had to call her again. What'd you say again? Right. Whenever we're distracted, I was worked up. I guarantee my heart rate was high. I guarantee I was metabolizing like crap. Right. That's that limbic system part of the brain, that fight, flight, or freeze response. That's that part of the brain that's gearing you up whenever you're nervous or anxious about something. Like, what am I going to have to do to combat this? Right. So that's another thing. It has a physiological effect. Also, it has a tendency to pull you out of a tired state. So again, going back to what can we use music for and how, it really has a tendency to actually alter the chemicals in the brain. They found that runners that would run without music versus those same ones who would run with music, they would actually run faster with music than whenever they didn't have music. So it actually, they found that it changes the chemistry of the brain to often make it more aggressive, to work harder, to push harder, etc. So again, music can be very, very good for those kinds of things because it can help them push through difficult problems. One of my favorite ones, and I couldn't find the article on this when I was doing the show notes today, but there was actually an article that was released years ago that talked about how music is actually mathematical. And there is a theory out there that says that they believe that music has a tendency, at least, to stimulate brain circuits that can help you basically decode complex issues easier. So in a lot of ways, music can help you solve more difficult problems easier, which again, when it comes to learning, can be absolutely valuable, especially a lot of times we don't think of things like don't bite your friends, right? We look at that as adults and say, wow, that's a pretty simple concept there, don't bite friends. But you got to realize for kids that are growing up, who are still working on their emotions, that are still teaching their brains to think before they make decisions, that could be a very valuable thing. Because in a lot of cases, to us, we say, oh, don't bite your friends. That's not very complex. Well, to a kid who's never been told not to do that, who in the moment finds it much easier to bite a person to get them away from them or something, right? I mean, for them, that's not necessarily an easy thing to grasp in concept. So if we're trying to help kids tackle these really difficult problems, music can be a really good way. Again, they believe it's because the mathematical piece of it stimulates those certain brain circuits to help us learn and decode and figure out complex issues a lot more quickly. And then last, number five, it can be great for connecting long-term memory to value teaching. All right, Trey, what was that gobbledygook? It goes back to the try it and then you'll like it thing. It helps. It can help your kids connect long-term to remember the idea of trying something new. If I tell them, hey, guys, try something new because you might like it, and then just leave my kids. And my kids are smart. My kids are really good about learning things, and they're very good about listening to mommy and daddy. But if I just tell them what's going to happen, more than likely, it's not going to stick. Then I'll say, what did I tell you guys about trying something new? Well, you said if we did that, we might eat more, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that would typically happen. However, if you mix it in with that little jingle, try it, and then you'll like it. Yeah, try it. And then you'll like it, right? If you throw something like that in, those have a tendency to stick a lot better. I mean, seriously. I'm going to do a little game here. I'm going to sing you guys the start of a jingle. Typically, these are jingles that have been or have gotten old now, and we use something different now. They've moved on to new jingles. But I want you guys to think back to some of the late 90s and early 2000s here and listen to these and see if you can finish these jingles for me. All right, you ready? Get longer-lasting fresh breath. What's the answer? With Big Red, right? We know these. Why? I mean, they haven't played the Big Red commercials in years. All right, here's another one for sodas. It's the older one that used to come up. Just remember, it's a soda. Always Coca-Cola, right? You know that one. That one stick with it. And then last, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. You see, there's something about music. I mean, that's why major distributors and manufacturers that create these things go to marketers, and marketers use these jingles. fascinating thing on marketing that was done a few years ago that I don't know if you guys remember. There's an old jingle that talked about Alka-Seltzer, and it went plop plop fizz fizz. Oh, what a relief it is, right? What research has actually proven that there is no difference, there is no quantifiable difference between taking two Alka-Seltzers and one. But what happened was Alka-Seltzer wanted to increase their sales. So what did they do? And normally they prescribed one. Well, they wanted to increase their sales, right? So to increase sales, they need people buying them more. To be buying them more, they have to be using more. So all Alka-Seltzer did was this. They created a new jingle that said, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. And guess what? Within 4 months, their sales quadrupled. Because at that point on, people started doing two. Because plop, plop, fizz, fizz, that's going to get my relief. But you see what I'm saying? The idea that these things stick with us. That was just an interesting side story there, by the way, guys. But these things stick with us. And they can be influential throughout the years. I learned some of these, like the longer lasting fresh breath with Big Red. I mean, that was when I was a kid. I haven't heard one of those in years. And yet it still sticks with me very, very vividly. Especially that, break me off a piece of that. I'm going to play a real quick funny clip. We got to do this one.
Best dad ever. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. I am totally blanking. What is the thing?
Break. Nobody tell him.
What? No. Why?
You got it. You're so close.
Break me off a piece of that. Bread. Applesauce.
Break me off a piece of that applesauce. I don't think
that. Piece of that Chrysler car.
Nope.
Football cream.
Okay.
Pull out the Van Damme. Hair firm men. Poison gas. Ultra sweet.
It's got a rhyme of peace.
Fancy feast. Break me off a piece of that fancy feast.
The cat food. Nailed it.
This is that show. Oh my God, that cracks me up. But anyway, all that to say is that those little logos have a tendency to stick with this. So we're going to have just a fantastic guest coming on this Wednesday, where she's gonna talk a little bit about just being what she calls a mommy master, but then also she's going to talk a little bit about a CD she's produced that goes about using music to teach kids. And I went looking through her tracks, and they're awesome because she uses techno music, country music, you know, rock. I mean, she just uses all these different, you know, things, but she teaches everything from, you know, like her number one most downloaded, it looks like, is potty training. And she has a one on pee pee poo poos. But I mean, I laugh and I chuckle and I think, crap, my kids would love this. And so anyway, music can absolutely be 100% amazingly valuable. Do not forget to use it in your parenting, because it can actually help take a lot of that stress out of the parenting that you want to get out. Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Family Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Take this one, use it. I'd love to get some feedback. How did it work for you guys when you put music into this? Or if you're already using music, how? Because I'm always looking for more techniques to throw out there. I'd love to do a part two on this episode with your feedback. Feel free to call in and say, Trey, this is for the episode on music. Here's what I do. And I'd love to put you in the show. So consider doing that. Guys, also, like us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all that other good jazz. Hope you guys have a great week. If nothing else, we'll see you guys this Wednesday. We're going to want to come check out the very special interview with Ellie Hirsch from MommyMasters.com. Going to be a great episode. We'll see you guys on Witness Day.